All right. Welcome to Motivational Monday. I am ecstatic to know that someone is out there wrestling and yearning for more of God in life, and that this podcast may be a small blessing in the midst of a hurried and harried life. So I'm glad you're with us on Motivational Monday. Well, the first reading that I share with you that we reflect on, this theme is with. And this comes from 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. Yes, yes, and yes again. It's amazing when we look at life, how easily it can be shattered. And a clay pot is a tremendous visual. Here recently, I went to an antique store close to downtown Seattle, and I found this old clay pot with some painting and flowers around the outside. It had some chips and cracks in it. I have no idea how long it will last in my garden, especially because it sits pretty close to a basketball hoop in my driveway. And so my guess is it's going to get hit and shattered. And I might just leave it shattered in place so that we can remember that clay jars will break, and so will our lives, and so will this world. But that extraordinary power that we learn in what is broken comes from God. God is the one who takes the broken pieces, the dynamics of our life, and holds them and moves them back into being whole and well. And so take a little time this week to think about those clay jars and the things in life that have been shattered, but also think about how God has been with you in and through what you've gone through. And all of us have different callings in life, different experiences, different stories, but God is within all. So let's hear this story about with.
What makes a calling difficult to discover? To own, to live into. It took me 25 years to figure it out. I was caught up in thinking I had to be in significant places, places people noticed and where I'd get noticed, doing significant things, imagining that I could not cut a wide swath of influence in a small or uncool place. There was a ladder to climb, a mark to be made, achievements and credentials to acquire. So what put me on that pathway? Well, certainly others' expectations from early on, the messages about me and to me. And then there's how I'm wired, passionate about ideas, collecting and curating ideas, always ready with ideas and ways to find better ideas, fearful I might be caught unprepared or underinformed, afraid of ever appearing broken, and feeling hindered by brokenness or weakness, feeling limited, misunderstood, underappreciated. There was a season of pursuing credentials and degrees, which actually kept me from seeing clearly where and to what I was called. I convinced myself that my calling was all about the acquisition of more and more knowledge and maybe finding the right venue to unload that knowledge. It took me 25 years of struggling with that need to discover that it was not about me. It's what the Apostle Paul describes in his most poignantly personal letter. He writes, "Our message is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ. All we are is messengers, errand runners from Jesus for you. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. What's precious, transformative, is the message. Not me." There was the source of tension with my calling, confusing the calling with me, the unadorned clay pot. The discovery of my calling has been all about owning my brokenness, confusing calling with ambition, and growing content with being of use, the enoughness of being a clay pot. Earlier in the same letter, Paul says, "Jesus comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person, just as God was there for us." There it was, my calling. My calling is about the people I'm called to serve. For me, the way through the tension with my calling was the journey out of my head and into relationship, and breaking out of my head and discovering that my head came along. The real breakthrough came when I stumbled upon the most important word in the Bible, the word that describes the heart of God and the nature of God's purpose and destiny for us, our calling. And that word is with.
Indeed, the word is with. God with us and we with one another. I was taken aback a little bit by the humility out of which this author spoke, knowing that our clay jar came with that word enoughness, that our clay jar of our life, that it is enough, because that extraordinary power does belong to God. We are simply a vessel along the journey. Well, when you think about your tension and your callings in this broken world, where do you see those clay jars shattering, and where do you see God doing a new thing? And the second is, how have you been called to be with someone, a cause, a concern, a person, in being with? Because there are tensions in calling, right? You can't insulate and isolate and be with someone. You have to step out from behind locked doors. You have to engage again in new ways. That's how it is that we go with. Jesus walked with his disciples, and we too are called to do that today. And so let's pray. God of the cross, through your beloved Son Jesus, you know and feel the suffering of our hurting humanity. You know what it's like to be disappointed, confused, hurt, drawn to things that don't bring fullness of life, and unsure of where the path will lead next. Yet through every moment of tension, you continue to call us to be your people of faith and service. You never leave us to suffer alone. You take up the cross with us, for us, for the sake of your call to us, in us, so that when the time comes, we too may rise again with you in your glory. Keep us with you, always and forever. And God's people say, amen. All right, dear church, stay motivated around the journey with Jesus. He is with you, and we are with one another. All right, good day.